You're listening to The Daily Football Show, Australia's number one football podcast dedicated to the beautiful game.
The Socceroos haven't given up on the pasty Perlo. Brisbane City want back in for expansion. Stalker Twitter descends into a farce, while Western Melbourne target the GOAT Welbeck as their big marquee.
You what?
Wow.
It's a joke. Oh, come on, Joey.
I was out at Bundoora this morning. I thought some massive piece of news had broken while I was...
Just a brief moment where Joey's like, are you serious?
Really? Donny Welbeck? Adrian Baker-Horton with
I was
you.
Ready to dump on that. That goat?
I would become an even more of a turncoat, and I would be leaving Melbourne City and getting around Western Melbourne if that was the case. So.
The Western Melbourne Welbecks.
Yeah.
There we go. Joey, LaFlamme Blanca Lynch, as you can hear, and Rob the Big Beef Crawford. We haven't introduced the great man, Andrew Byron's favourite, Joel Freeby Frushy. How are you, sir?
Going well. It's Friday. Have my chicken schnitzel sandwich. I'm good to go. Excited for this
yes.
one.
Yes. The freebies music.
I've never known a guy to eat so well and so healthy, Rob. What do you think?
Then Joel Frucci.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's up there.
I don't want any damn vegetables.
There's a few other people who come into the studio that eat just as well as Joel, but we won't name them.
No. I think it was the other day. He's like, I don't eat vegetables.
Yeah.
So, man, they're really good for you, and they actually don't taste that bad.
Yeah, we're organising just to go.
Well, I do.
Just go for a little quiet meal end of next week. And I'm like, is there anything you guys don't eat? Like any allergies? Just going to look at some restaurants. And Joel goes, I don't eat vegetables. So
that was a joke, obviously.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. I didn't take it as a joke.
Vegetables are
amazing. Yeah. They are amazing. Potatoes are my favourite. Yeah. Absolutely love potatoes. Love carrots. Love broccoli. Cauliflower
chips.
Cheese
chips,
sauce.
Potatoes.
Yeah.
Man, I even get around Brussels sprouts. If you cook them right, Brussels sprouts are amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Asparagus, underrated asparagus.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, asparagus, good. Fantastic.
Very good call. What about broccolini?
Ooh, fancy. Well,
asparagus, you just do them in the juices when you've cooked your steak and you save the juices and cook your asparagus in it.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ooh.
All right, let's go around the room. Fruit or veg?
Welcome to the Daily Cooking Show.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, fruit or veg?
I used to be a fruit man, but of late in the last year or so, I'm more of a veg man. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Lynch.
Well, I'm already fruity enough, so I try to get as many vegetables as I can.
Hey, heyo.
Joel, fruit or veg?
For sure.
Fruit?
It helps that I used to get called fruity a lot. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, fruit.
Joel,
for sure.
Fruity, fruity.
I'm fruit as well.
Okay.
I love fruit. Let's kick on. Today on the show, Fox Sports analyst and identity pro founder Scott Miller will join us, and former Socceroo Steve Horvat from the Western Melbourne Group, who of course is the interim football director there. Maybe nursing a little bit of a hangover, boys.
Yeah.
No doubt.
That Welbeck news would have got to him, so. Well,
the sticker boys know how to party. They would have enjoyed themselves last night because they're in. And they're very excited, so it'll be great to pick Steve's brain. So that'll be great. And, of course, those EDMs that you're rolling out, Frush, they're absolutely fantastic. So for Daily Football Show listeners who aren't aware, and you love getting things sent through to your email. I know you're a big fan of this, Big Beef. You love getting EDMs from, what's it called, Hot Pod?
Hot Pod newsletter. Great newsletter. Don't like you forwarding email threads to me, though. We've had that discussion.
Yeah, you kind of missed the point about that, but that's
okay.
Yeah,
but I do enjoy someone sliding into my DM, so it's good.
It's true. So if you enjoy getting emails into your inbox, then Daily Football Show every bloody day... Okay. Because of Joel Freeby Frushy and James Matthews is sending that through.
So EDMs.
Wow.
EDMs, newsletters.
What does that stand for? Because I didn't know, for a second there I thought like Joel was a DJ and he was sending through like mad beats or something.
Joel,
it's not electronic dance music. What are they sending?
Adagio for Frucci.
Adagio for Frucci. Oh, you want to know what it actually means?
Yeah.
Fruchesto over here.
It means electronic direct mail.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So there you go. Everyone knows what an EDM is.
So he's not just sending Darude Sandstorm to your inbox every single day.
Oh, no, that too.
It must be said, my partner Fiona always says this. She goes, shut up with your acronyms.
Mm.
She doesn't like acronyms.
Your agency talk.
Yeah, we're in the tech world. We're in the digital world, the media world. And she's like, just shut up with the acronyms. And I think she even said it herself. What is an EDM the other day? So,
well, that's three more words than what my partner says to me.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, okay.
Just shut up.
Anyway, if you want the newsletter every day, Daily Football Show, it's fantastic, then make sure you sign up. If you want to sign up, the best way to probably do it, go to the Facebook page and you'll see the little sign-up button. Let's kick on. Brisbane City look like they are back in as a contender for the next round of A-League expansion. The Sydney Morning Herald has reported their resubmitted bid was analysed by the FFA board but was not considered for this round of expansion. The A-League club says the next phase of expansion must be under a new operating model. So, there we go. I don't know why it deserves an applause, but I really like the idea, and I was big on this. I like the Brisbane City idea, creating a derby up there in Queensland. I think it'd incentivize the Roar. I think there is a hunger for it, and I'm just happy that they're back in the mix, Joel.
Yeah, me too. And look, I think in the long run, there's every chance they get in. We know that Fox Sports, is the host broadcaster, love the idea of more derby, so they certainly tick that box. And Brisbane being the third biggest market, you know, there's certainly, I suppose, there's certainly a vision for them to come in. I could almost see things happening this way. So obviously, we know Western Melbourne Group will come in next season, and MacArthur Southwest Sydney the season after. Ideally, I would like to see two more clubs the following season, so three seasons from now.
Yeah,
and then potentially, or even if Wellington Phoenix, let's throw worst case scenario out there with Wellington Phoenix at the end of next season, if they lose their license, mm-hmm. so another spot becomes available.
Hypothetically,
do you then fast track one of the other teams like a Canberra, for example, who are ready made, mm-hmm. regardless of metrics or whatever else? And then their metrics aren't too bad, mm-hmm. but you bring in a ready made bid like Canberra, right? And then the following season, or the two seasons after that, Brisbane City, mm-hmm. and the one before Team 11, who's
come
the
on, get there. South Melbourne, of course.
No, not South Melbourne, but anyway. so we're bringing in five teams in due course. So yeah. I could almost see it happening.
And you're taking
that way.
One out.
So the hypothetically, Nux. Wellington, yes.
Yes, the Knox. But what across if the Knox go and win the championship this season, Joey?
Well, they can take it back to New Zealand with them, can't they?
You're not sold on them?
I'm not fully. Like, I know there are some people that are viscerally Knicks out. Long term.
English, please. What was that? That's an amazing word.
I forgot what I said. that are quite keen to see the Knicks out. I am not quite, you know, as keen to see them out immediately. But long term, I would prefer to see a situation where New Zealand has their own thriving domestic league that means that they don't need to have a side.
We don't watch.
Yeah, well, we can watch it. Maybe it'd be so fantastic that it would be appointment viewing. But long term, yeah, I would prefer to see the Knicks competing inside New Zealand, competing in Oceania, which is their confederation.
Yeah.
Those opportunities that are currently afforded to Kiwi players in the Australian domestic competition afforded to young Australian players, as I imagine a lot of Australians with a long-term mindset would think as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the general consensus is that most people think they won't be around for too long, which is disappointing for them, but we need to progress and it is our own backyard. But anyway, well, that's a whole different kettle of fish. FFA is set to make one final play to have Aaron Moy pass fit for the Asian Cup despite already being ruled out. Head office will send the head physio and high performance chief Phil Coles to the UK to assess the MCL injury this week, or next week rather, because this week's nearly over, Becca. Graham Arnold says no stone is being left unturned ahead of the Socceroos title defence. I don't really like this, Joel. I just, the thought of rushing him back, and I don't think Huddersfield will be happy with this either, and potentially putting himself in more danger of, I don't know, maybe re-injuring himself or coming back a little bit too early and then derailing the Terriers' bid to stay alive in the Premier League, I don't think they'd like it. I think it's a little bit selfish from us.
Well, I don't think it's so much a case of rushing him back, so to speak. I think it's merely an assessment. So
why can't they back them in? They're a Premier
League.
Yeah,
well,
club.
I mean, there's that. I mean,
I reckon it's disrespectful to Huddersfield.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is a little bit disrespectful to Huddersfield's medical department. So, I mean, when you see the parent club, you know, actually announce that he's going to be unavailable for a certain amount of time, then you'd obviously expect that the medical team has done the due diligence on that injury and you'd back it in. So in that sense, it's a bit disrespectful. I don't really see, you know, from a selfish Socceroos fan's point of view, I don't see the problem in going over there, having a look at him and seeing if there's anything they can do. But having said that, there is no need to rush him. I don't think they will do anything overly strenuous to worsen that injury. So, look, it's just a wait and see type thing, but I'm not holding my breath. I'm expecting to be out still.
Yeah, so am I. I don't think we'll see Aaron Moy at the Asian Cup. Very disappointing indeed, but everyone knows there's a silver lining with that, an opportunity for someone else. W League last night, Joey. God, the goals are flowing, aren't they? Sydney FC 5, Adelaide United 2. A cracking game. Did you get to see any of this one?
I was busy, so I only got to see the highlights and read some of the reports. But yeah, absolutely cracking game. Sydney FC are beginning to maybe look like the Sydney FC that we were expecting to see at the beginning of the year, looming as title favourites now as they all come together. And disappointing result for Adelaide, really. Actually, Adelaide United's first defeat this season.
Correct.
But it does mean that they now sit in fourth, only a point clear of fifth place Canberra and sixth place, and 2 points clear of sixth place Melbourne City. So they've gone from being undefeated to their finals chances in perhaps jeopardy. And maybe one could have anticipated that. Nobody really thought that they were going to be as good as they've been this season at the beginning of the campaign. So maybe coming back down to earth for Adelaide United.
Yeah, but now they're vulnerable. Big Beef. What are you doing over there? You're vulnerable. Get the stinger on.
And Martin Atkinson, I think, has got the red card out. Well, that didn't last long.
It's off. It's quick. It's the dad.
In a minute, he's taking another card out. For Beckham, it's a red card for David Beckham.
The straight red.
Why you do that?
Because I can.
And who is that guy?
I don't know.
We should find who are
out.
You?
We should find that
who
out.
Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you?
Straight red. Let's do it. Rapidly.
Who's going to go first?
Joel.
Oh, am I going first?
Yep.
Oh. Okay, yeah, okay. So I'll stay on the expansion theme. So I'm not going to name anyone specific, but look, during this whole process, some of the conduct by certain fans...
Oh, come on, we know who you're talking about.
...has been, not all, some... has been utterly...
Yeah, it was that bloody Southern Expansion fan base. They were all over Twitter.
Yeah, they were all over Twitter. No, but seriously, some of the conduct from particular people, particularly on social media, and I hate to draw on trolling again, but I am, has been nothing short of utterly disgraceful. And just some of the...
it's embarrassing.
Some of the... Some of... Not so much the scare campaigns, but the actual... The tactics behind them. So just, some, you know, some casual racism, calling... Team 11, for example, Apex FC. I mean, for God's sake, it's just...
And even the people going at South Melbourne, Greek backgrounds, like, it's gone the other way as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just the general racism around a lot of the bids has been a bit shit from a lot of people, so...
Good call, yeah, and that's why I said it off the top. I think Twitter soccer, and I was being facetious, but it's been an absolute farce. I went through the feed again last night when I was sitting on the couch, and I'm with you, Joel. I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was coming out of people's mouths. It's just, it's pitiful. It's become a forum for people to be racist, to be homophobic, to be all sorts of nasty things that you don't want people to be, and unfortunately that's what's happened, so I'm with you.
Yeah, and quick straight red to Western Sydney Wanderers as well for delaying MacArthur. Get stuck.
You...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that is crap.
No, he's stolen mine. That's what I'm thinking. Okay, go straight
for
red
then.
To Frucci for stealing the straight red.
Sorry, Joey.
Well, that was mine. I'll come up with another.
No, that's
straight,
yours.
Straight red to Warren Joyce in his press conference this morning. He said that didn't really put much stock in the Y League and all of that, and youth football's my little niche, so straight red to Warren for dumping on my niche.
I like that. Rob, what about you, mate?
Quick straight red to Joel and Adrian. We were never going to get this segment done in 10 minutes. Well, I don't know why you thought we could. Straight red to Rachel from Elstonwick, who caused me to have a car accident on Tuesday. You stupid, stupid woman. I'm so upset with you, and my insurance isn't going to cover it because... I actually didn't touch you, even though you forced me into another car. You mother effer. So, Rachel from Elstonwick, you know who you are.
Yeah, and she won't be listening.
No.
Straight red to everyone that thought...
If you live in Elstonwick and you know someone called Rachel, boo them. Just give them a boo.
Boo, Rachel. Quick one for me. Straight red to everyone that thought that Virgil van Dijk's challenge, taking the ball a yard ahead of Dries Mertens was a red card.
It was a red card.
It was a red card.
Oh, my God! Go to the break. Straight red to these two.
You're listening to The Daily Football Show, the voice of Australian football.
Daily Football Show is brought to you by the Imperial Hotel, Bourke Street, in the heart of Melbourne's CBD. If you're keen to head out and watch some football in Melbourne, this is the place to be. Trust me, as a Liverpool fan, there's nothing better.
The Imperial is the home of sport, as you said, and the home of the Liverpool Supporters Club, as well as many others, being Man City and Tottenham. And yeah, look, it's a fantastic atmosphere when games like the EPL are on.
It's not all about the Premier League or those overseas leagues. The Asian Cup on the horizon as the Socceroos try to defend their 2015 title. There's no better place to get around the boys and a few beers and those Socceroos.
And then, as I said, next year on to Asian Cup in Jan. You know, there's no better place to watch it than the Imperial. So looking forward to that.
And if you're up late watching the games in the wee hours of the morning, don't fret. They've got you covered. Pub classics, drinks all night. That's what you get at the Impy.
We run a happy hour every Friday night on the ground floor of the Imperial between 4 and 7, and that's everything you can get your hands on, essentially, all tap beer, all wine and all spirits between 4 and 7 for $9 a pub. And then the food, you know, the Imperial is known for our Parmas, multi-award-winning Parmigiana at the Imperial Hotel, so if you're hungry, it's definitely the way to go. And then from there, you know, great pub fare as well, steaks. You know, we've got a barramundi on the menu at the moment, which is fantastic. Fish and chips and all that sort of thing as well.
Well, there you go. Take it from me. As a regular at the Impy, if you're in Melbourne and you want to watch some of these massive match days coming up in the next few months, it's second to none. The Imperial Hotel on Bourke Street, proud sponsor of the Daily Football Show. Welcome back to the Daily Football Show on a Friday. It's been a big, big week. Let's be honest about that, boys. And just a little cherry on top of the cake. It's Scott Miller, the Identity Pro founder, of course, the Fox Sports analyst every Friday, joining us, the tactician. Welcome.
Afternoon, gents. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm great, mate. I'm smiling from ear to ear. Don't worry about me.
Good, good.
Expansion. Now, I'm pretty happy. You know my bugbears, but let's get positive. Let's look at the glass half full scenario. What are your thoughts about the two teams that have come in?
Well, to be honest with you, I've just completely deflected any form of negativity regarding it because ultimately there was always going to be some form of negativity regarding the four applicants that weren't successful. But for me, this is far bigger. This is about growth that will be sustainable based upon finances, and let's not get carried away regarding any area or demographics. This is about money. This is about a club being able to sustain itself in the A-League and add a value to it. And that's the end of the argument for me, because having worked in a football environment, it's very costly for owners to do so. So I'm happy. I really am. It's taken a long time to get here. A lot of discussion, but ultimately, who are we to suggest who's right and who's not, who's wrong? We haven't seen the analytics and the review of each bit, but I'm happy for football. You know who I'm happy for the most? I'm happy for the aspiring coaches, the aspiring young talented footballers that aren't getting an opportunity to play in the A-League, and that's who I'm excited for.
Yeah, very good call. I think that's one of the great positives to come out of it that we've spoken about, and I know Joey Lynch is certainly big on that too. Let's get stuck into the games. We're going to start with a different one. We're going to give the two teams that are perennially cellar dwellers in Wellington Phoenix and Central Coast Mariners, we're going to give them a run. So firstly, what did Mark Rudin and the Knicks do so well against Sydney FC? Because most people who follow Australian football were absolutely gobsmacked at halftime.
Yeah, well, I was covering that game up in Sydney with Fox, and Mark Bosnich actually was the only one on the panel that selected Wellington, so that was interesting. So he must have seen the forecast and went with it. So that was very interesting that he assumed they would. What I liked about Wellington was they came and played a brand of football in the attacking half. They created a lot of chances, and they took the game to Sydney. A lot of managers travelling the way they do, especially the distance, could be tempted to play a defensive structure and really look to play for the draw and maybe, potentially win the game on transition or from a set piece. But Mark set his team up in a way that was really dynamic, created many, many chances, as I said, And I thought they were brilliant overall. And that mentality has just demonstrated that you've got them playing with a belief. And why can't they go and do it again this weekend?
One of the things about Wellington, Scotty, that really intrigues me is the role that I'll try and say his name correctly. Michael Kopczynski, I believe that's right. I'll go with it. But his role in that team, he kind of seems to be dropping back into that back line and adding that extra central defender from the number six role. And it's working pretty well so far. Obviously, it was a little bit of a slow start. We only saw him after a few games. But can you sort of talk to us about the role that he's playing with the Knicks?
Well, that role was interesting because, you know, the trend at the moment is that three at the back with the ball. But, you know, we did it a few times at Newcastle where if a six has the mentality of a central defender, they can drop into the back four on transition. So you are defending with a back four. And what that means is you really need to be very organised because the person playing in front of him, whether or not be a 7, 11 or 10, they need to drop into that that six position as well. So essentially a player drops down one line to add more protection to the team. So that's a disciplined role. That's not easy. But that's worked upon on the training ground and clear instructions in and out of possession as well. If you've got someone like that in your team, it's very valuable because it allows you to overload that midfield with him stepping into that mid-third. And that was massively evident for me last week. You saw the system of Sydney, the 4-4-2 with Brosk and Lafondre playing up front. We were crying out for someone to drop into midfield, one of those two, to support the press because what essentially was happening were Wellington was finding the spare man and the key passes or forward passes with no pressure on the ball were being made and the execution was outstanding. So that's really the benefit of that role, having that person, the ability to step in and out of each line.
Scott, maybe for one of the traditional cellar dwellers, things are looking up for the Phoenix, but another one, the Mariners, seemingly nothing going right for them at the moment. What does Mike Mulvey have to do to turn it around there in Gosford and get the Mariners up and about?
One thing he can't do is create a culture of excuses. That's the first thing he mustn't do because if players buy into that sort of environment, anything goes then, and then it's a sliding scale. So I'm pretty sure with his coaching staff, he'll be keeping the training ground very positive, looking to develop the team in overall, you know, team confidence. It does come down to confidence a lot. And if you look at their start and the players they're missing, that's very challenging because he set his team up. But guys, I'm not being funny. These teams who are down the bottom that spend the least in the salary cap, it only takes two players to completely disjoint your season, potentially your season, depending on the length of those injuries. And that's the negative component of not spending the salary cap and not spending on different quality players because versatility and flexibility is out the window the minute you lose Orr and McCormack, and who do you go to? So all the best to Mike. It's not an easy job, but it's about consistency and behaviours being consistent and getting the attitude right.
Now, we've got the small matter of the Sydney Derby, which is my favourite fixture in the A-League. Come on, Joey. It has to be. Don't be too Melbourne-centric.
Well, I'm putting disrespect on the distance derby there, I reckon.
Very good. Now, it's huge because, of course, Sydney FC have had the wood over their rivals, the Wanderers, for quite some time now. This is a generic one before we break it down tactically, but is this the best chance that the Wanderers have had in a long, long time to finally break their duck against Sydney FC?
Yeah, well, why wouldn't it be? You look at the form of each team. There was pressure on Steve Corica in Sydney with that performance last week, and what I mean by pressure is not necessarily huge amounts of pressure, but expectations from within the club. That was so below par, it was borderline frightening to watch the application of some of those quality players. We were in shock watching it because ultimately it was so far below any level that we've seen Sydney perform in numerous years. So opportunity beckons for Western Sydney Wanderers regarding them making a step. And I agree completely. What an opportunity for them right now. I'd probably say they've never played Sydney in worse form for probably since the inception and when they arrived in the league, I'd suggest.
I think for me, Scotty, it's been a bit the same with the Wanderers this game versus others, wherein it'll be, for me, a bit of a battle of the midfield. So look at Keanu Backus and Jordan O'Doherty, two young guys making up those dual six roles versus Brillante and O'Neill on the other side, obviously two experienced campaigners with a lot more game time under their belts. But, I mean, we you speak a lot about mindset as well. And I look at the Wanderers' loss against Melbourne Victory, and Marcus Bubble after that game was talking a lot about how they were scared of Melbourne Victory. So I think they were a little bit more fearsome against the Mariners last week, but clearly this is an entirely different test. So when it comes to that mindset, do you expect them to kind of take some stock from that loss against Victory and, I guess, be a little less fearless about Sydney FC?
Oh, they couldn't be much worse than when they played Melbourne Victory. The manager said that. They didn't compete, and I can't remember his analogy, but it was basically to the point suggesting that it was men v. boys. So what you had was a team that actually had to really fight for the credibility from the fans' perspective and demonstrate that they had the capacity to represent the football club. And they did that last week against the team that was struggling. The big derby now, they go into it with a bit of confidence and form. But on the flip side, their manager, i.e. Corica, has to get a response from his team this week, because ultimately expectations at the big clubs, it grows quicker and the pressure grows quicker than it would be potentially on a Mike Mulvey, for example, because the board wants a lot more and therefore the players have a lot more pressure on them. So Babel's probably got the balance right now in terms of where their direction on the back of that heavy loss to Victory. But that was an important game last week. You probably suggest that he was really looking at that fixture for Central Coast Mariners and almost banking the fixture list that it was Central Coast Mariners, not another top side, so he can get the season back on track.
Scott, I wanted to ask you really quickly, and apologies to the other boys, but I'm going rogue here and going off the running sheet. But I was at Warren Joyce's press conference this morning, and I asked him about the fact that last week Melbourne City didn't have a single shot on target, despite the fact that both Joyce and Jamieson said that they dominated the game. How do you think City can actually start turning some of this supposed dominance, where in reality it's just winning the possession stat, into actual shots on target and goals?
Personnel, first of all, attacking patterns of play and the work you've done on the training ground is two. Unless you're actually coaching your players to get into the final third and execute, they'll be making it up on the run. So all that training methodology needs to be underpinned on the weekend in the fixture. So for me, it always starts on the training ground and how you apply yourself and how you set your team up, because players are clever, players are smart, but they also need direction. And with direction, that provides some form of structure and understanding between each player and the units. So for me, it always starts there. And I heard Sasha Ogonofsky talk about dominance, and his dictionary meaning was simple, and it's to win games. And for me, I've only worked at senior football, never in development, and it is about winning games. So forget possession stats, forget statistics to a degree. They show trends and performance trends, that is. But ultimately, a senior football club needs to win games, and ultimately shots on target do that. But it's the right personnel in the right structure. And sometimes, guys, it's not just about the same structure. You may well have to change the attacking structure completely. And what I mean by that is your starting positions and potentially tactical approach to get more men in advanced areas, so the guys in wide areas have more options. So maybe he's looked at this at the video and set his team up differently, but we'll have to wait and see.
Now, of course, you're a big dog in the coaching world with your academies, mate. So Identity Pro, what's going on? What have you been doing in the last, say, week since we spoke to you, Scotty?
Last week, it's been an enjoyable week, lads, I must admit. It's winding down for the year, so I'm looking forward to 2 weeks off, actually. We've got our last week at Berwick and Mount Eliza this week coming up on Monday night, which will be good. So we'll actually put a bit of a barbecue on for the parents and the kids and celebrate Christmas and our term 3 and term 4 together. And then it will be 2 weeks off. But I'm actually at Lang Warren as well, guys, in the NPL. So our pre-season's kicking off as well. So we're working hard. So it's busy times in the coaching world.
Yep, no doubt, mate. You're doing a fantastic job. So for people who want to learn more, of course, head to identitypro.com.au. Scotty, great stuff. Enjoy the football on the weekend, and I'll just keep on smiling.
Hey, smile for me, mate. I want to feel it from down the peninsula.
Good work. Thanks, mate.
All right, boys.
Take care. We'll speak to you soon.
You're listening to The Daily Football Show, the voice of Australian football.
Welcome back to the Daily Football Show. Adrian Beaker-Horton with you, Joel Freeby-Ferrucci and Joey LaFlumma-Blunker-Lynch. Now, boys, we're excited about this. We wanted to get Steve Horvat on yesterday, but I think they were doing a bit too much celebrating, boys, because, of course, Western Melbourne Group have been included into the A-League. They'll come in next season. It's very exciting. The interim football director, as I said, Steve Horvat, is on the line. Welcome, mate.
Yeah, thank you. One journey's over and another journey begins. It's been an interesting 24 hours since the announcement, to say the least.
Mate, it's absolutely amazing, and we've been exchanging messages over the journey. The one thing that I remember distinctly when you first got involved in this project, and I'll almost quote this, you basically said, this is one of the most exciting things I've ever been a part of in my life, and now it becomes a reality. So from your own personal perspective, are you absolutely pinching yourself?
Yeah, look, I think it is obviously, you know, when the game is part of your life, you know, I mean, it's intrinsically embedded in our DNA, you know. It's something that we think about when we wake up, we check the overnight scores, you know, from Europe or wherever it is, you know, and at night you're messaging or you know, throwing a jibe at your mates about your team. And so it's something that's part of your life. And obviously, you know, I've been very fortunate to represent and captain my country and do those sort of things on the park. But, you know, probably when I sent that message, you know, to you, it was sort of like, well, this is sort of more than just leaving a legacy on the field and some memories of certain games that you played in. It's more about what you're going to actually deliver for a region and for the game, you know. And I think that's why it sort of was so exciting and so compelling, and why we've, you know, didn't throw our hands in the air at certain stages of the whole process and say it's just too hard. We thought we're going to ride it out because, you know, this sort of a project is never easy. It's never easy to get something like this funded, to get, you know, a council like Wyndham Council to buy into, you know, our vision. So, look, remarkable. And look, you know, we just want to get on with the job now.
This is a bit of a broad one, Steve, but no doubt there's no time to waste now. Because there's only sort of 10 months of turnaround time before you guys enter the competition. So, broadly speaking, what's the first order of business for yourself and all the other people behind the scenes?
Well, you sort of were able to get to a certain point in the process. Obviously, we, have earmarked, you know, potential staff. You know, we've been talking to potential players and coaches over the last few months, but you could only get to a certain point and then say to the, to the prospective, person you're speaking to that, well, this is all subject to, because in 3 weeks' time or 2 weeks' time or a month's time, it could all go away. So, you know, we were able to get to a certain point in planning, but then it was like, okay, well, now we just put the handbrake on and wait. So, you know, it's now about putting people in positions. And look, and the flip side of that is the fact that because it got delayed and we had to wait, you know, we actually lost a couple of potential people that would have been in our organization who have moved on to other jobs, you know, because and prospective players and coaches who couldn't wait any longer. You know, coaching is you're only as good as your last game proposition. So, you know, a couple of coaches that we spoke to had taken up jobs since we spoke to them. So, you know, that's the difficult thing at the moment, to hit the ground running. We're not daunted at all by the prospect of getting a team up in 10 months. You know, we are pretty well through our group connected through World Football and, you know, have got access to a number of people. So we're not daunted, but definitely there's a lot of work to do. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, I think, Steve, maybe if I could make a suggestion purely so I can be entertained when I'm in press conferences and that, Sam Allardyce is free. Give him a call, maybe. Big Sam in the A-League. I'd pay to see it. I did just want to ask you, of course, not only do you have to do all of that important stuff, but there's also the matter of, with a new club, the fun stuff. You get to design a kit. You get to choose your colours, to even choose a name. I remember I was at that first fan forum that you did in Wyndham before the process, before you received the licence. What's going to be the process now for getting more of those off the ground and getting fans in the West involved in making those decisions?
Well, what we did do, and obviously you were present at the fan forum, but what we've run over, you know, if you followed our social media, probably since about August, you know, we've been constantly been throwing suggestions. Even on our website, we've had polls about names, colours. People have designed kits. If you go scroll back through our Facebook timeline, there's literally between 50 and 100 kit designs that people have done. So, you know, we've got all this stored up. Now, there's no doubt we want to get out there and do a bit of a roadshow. We want to target again the west of Melbourne, but we want to get out to Ballarat. We want to get out to Geelong and go and talk to the fans. You know, the problem is we have a limited time frame. So we need to try and do that as soon as possible. And we need to try and lock in colours, a name, a badge as soon as possible as well, because that's what we've found throughout the journey. People, you know, people get sick of hearing the old rhetoric. When you start talking to the football fan about what's your badge, what your colour, that's what gets people excited. And you know what? From day one, that was our vision. That's what gets me excited when I go to a stadium and I walk in there and the stadium is coloured as the team. Mm. The stadium is completely branded in the club. You know, the seats have got the club's name on there. You know, all of those things we're going to have. And it's really, look, at the A-League level, you know, I won't talk about, obviously, you know, clubs have owned their own facilities at various levels in the game, but I'm purely talking at an A-League level. For a matter of fact, I mean, at any elite sports level, I mean, you know, there's no professional sporting team in this country that will have the setup and the ownership structure that we do. So, you know, we're really grateful that Wyndham bought in. We're grateful that the AFFA bought in, that this is really a game changer for the sport. And you know, we might have been banging on about that one point. You know, it's really what we just wanted to drive home over the last couple of months, that, you know, this is a now or never proposition. And I know people sort of said that, oh, you're holding the FFA to ransom. No, it isn't. I mean, if people understood the Western Corridor, they understand that you can be standing in a paddock today, and in 12 months' time, there's a suburb in that paddock. That's the reality, you know. So, you know, it really was important that we got over the line, and hopefully we're successful, and hopefully it's a template that other clubs can use in the future.
I love it. Everything to me screams out tribalism, and I know that's exactly what you've tried to project to a lot of different people with your fan forums. Some of the closed Facebook groups that you've got off the ground have been tremendous. It allows an opportunity to talk to the actual punters and those fans that will no doubt embrace this team. The name and the colours, again, I love it because that's what it's all about. I want to walk into a stadium that has the crest and the colours everywhere and it's in your face and, you know, you can really smell it and feel it and act as if it's your very own. So is there any idea around, you know, the name or the colours, or again, is that going to be very much a fan-focused thing?
Look, I honestly think we've narrowed it down to maybe three or four. Now, whether we go back out to the fans, it's really going to be how we assess how our timing is, you know, and that's really important, you know, because like you said, that's what engages and gets the fan excited. So I think the sooner we can come out with that, the better, you know, the sooner, you know, we had a Wyndham Council press conference today, the sooner we can, you know, sit at our own press conference announcing our colours, our name, our badge, I think will be a red letter day for us. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make that happen as quickly as possible.
Steve, I also wanted to ask you, perhaps in your capacity as the football director, there's been a lot of excitement, people talking about potential marquees and all of that sort of stuff. But on the other side of that, what sort of involvement do you foresee West Melbourne Group, or whatever name you end up settling on, as having with NPL sides at a local level? Will you be looking to recruit from NPL sides from out in the west of Victoria? Will you extend your reach across to all NPL sides in Victoria? What's the go to engage local players that might now see another side from Melbourne in the A-League as that opportunity for their big break?
Well, I think we've been pretty adamant that, you know, we want to come in and we want to win the competition in season one. I mean, that's our goal. Now, on the flip side of that, and to counterbalance that, we've said all along that we believe that there is an incredible amount of untapped talent in this country, and we as a club are not going to be in the business of just recycling A-League players. That is something that we have said, and that's something that we're going to stick to. Now, I think there's talent out there, and I think that what we need to do is to give these players time. It's no use bringing players that are semi-professional or not even at that semi-professional level and give them a couple months and then say, well, they're not good enough. I think you need more time. I mean, it's not going to be a Usain Bolt type trial, but what you need to do is give these kids time to be in that professional environment. So you need to be a good talent spotter, an ID spotter of good talent, but they need to have the work ethic. And I think that, so we are desperate to make sure that we give plenty of opportunity to young players in this country. I mean, we're going to build an academy, an elite training center base that will be world class. So, but we need to find players that are hungry. We need to find young players that want to be great, that want to work hard, that want to achieve their dreams. I mean, we had the mantra of dream big early on, and that's the vision that we had from day one with this project. So anyone we bring in, whether it's a coach, whether it's a marquee, you know, we're not going to bring in a marquee here that is just going to be here to collect some superannuation. We want to bring a marquee, and I think it's a great example of what Honda is doing at Victory. He's almost single-handedly lifting the level of intensity of that club.
Yeah.
That's so important because I've played at the highest level. I understand what it takes, but I think we need to instill that discipline and work ethic in our young talent in this country. That is then going to deliver in spades for the Matildas, for the Socceroos, and players who aspire to play in Europe because they need the tools and they need to understand how hard it is to make it. And I think, you know, that isn't really done at this point in time. And you know, and when you get a comment like that from a Honda, or you get somebody like him at his age that wants to come in here and he does extra training session, works hard, that's the example that of the players that we bring in, that's what they need to pass on. So if you bring in a marquee, it's not just about the razzle dazzle and the name. It's about obviously delivering on the park, but it's about showing and setting the standard for the young players in the club.
Just to touch on the whole identity thing again, Steve, there's no doubt that the vision clearly from Western Melbourne Group, and you've been on the record with this the whole way through, is always to capture sort of that broader Western region, which is obviously a big market, obviously the likes of Ballarat, Wyndham and Geelong as well, and Cardinia Park is going to be the home venue, so we think, for probably the first 3 years or so. But I think what's interesting is how do you sort of think you'll go about making sure that all of those catchments will be sort of targeted and ensure that they feel part of this team? Because I think my biggest worry is probably just that there's the possibility of, I guess, that scope narrowing to Geelong while the stadium's going up. So how do you think you'll think go about that?
I think you've got to be committed to it. If you give it lip service, it'll never work. Now, we are going to unveil a schools program. We're going to have these really our presence in the community. Now, if you say you're going to do it and then don't deliver it, then that shows up in the engagement and in the terraces. Now, you know, obviously, and just to set the record straight, you know, we are coming in October 29. We intend to start turning dirt in less than 6 months at our stadium. So we have told the council are backing us, our developer, our building, stadium builder is backing us, saying that we'll be playing our first game in season three. So, you know, this misconception that we're going to be at Cardinia Park for 4 or 5 years is a furphy, and I just wanted to set the record straight that our intention is to be playing our first game in season three in our new stadium in Wyndham. So, you know, a lot of our focus on what we're doing now, as well as obviously building, a team and a club and a fan engagement, is to make sure that, you know, we are getting our building up and running as quickly as possible. And already over the last 24 hours, you know, we've received assurances from not only council, but state government and even federal government that they will do everything they can to fast track permits, etc. So, you know, that is our intention. So, you know, obviously we have to make do until we are in our home with other venues. And I think, you know, Geelong is a huge catchment area. It's obviously why Victory has been coming down here for a few seasons. And, you know, it's a stadium that now with the new stand, is world class. You know, there's world class facilities in there, and you feel like you're at a real stadium. Obviously, I'm a football purist, as many million people out there are as well, and we all want to be in our purpose-built stadium as quickly as possible. But as David Gallop said at the media launch yesterday, is this was the best viable temporary option out there in the marketplace. So we have to use that as a strength, not as a weakness. But like you said, and what I reiterate is the fact that you have to go into the communities and mean it. You know, you can't just give them lip service. Otherwise, they won't repay the faith.
Steve, just very quick one from me before we get to Adrian to finish up. But you've mentioned coming in 2019, 2020. Any chance that we might see West Melbourne Group playing in the FFA Cup?
Look, I mean, that I'm not sure about that. I haven't had that discussion with the FFA yet. Obviously, you know, 24 hours ago, we weren't even a club. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we need to flesh out. Obviously, there's, you know, how is the fixture going to look like next season and all those sort of things, you know. So there's many, many discussions to be had. But look, obviously, if there was an opportunity, we would like to get in as quickly as possible.
So, Steve Marquise, I'm pretty excited because this morning I was listening to SEN and Adam Peacock was on the show, and he said that a certain Zlatan Ibrahimovic might be on Lou Sticker's radar. Now, we know the pedigree of Lou Sticker, and of course, he's brought some of the biggest stars in world football out to these shores. So I wouldn't put anything past Lou and what he can do. Zlatan, is it a legitimate process that you may go through with him? I know Fernando Torres is also someone that's been thrown up. Yaya Toure, again, another player. I know Rob Crawford, our producer here, is being a little bit of a smart ass and saying Danny Welbeck, which is an in-joke on the show, so don't worry about that, Steve. But those players I've mentioned, like, this could legitimately happen. I think it can, with Lou behind it. Is there any inkling? Can you give us anything? Can the fans get excited about some of these names?
Look, that's definitely the level that we are looking at. There's no doubt about it. We know that we have to come into this competition and make a splash. That's why we make no bones about saying that we are coming in to try and win the competition in our first season. I mean, we're not coming in to make up the numbers and so forth. You know, in our financial modelling, we have already factored in marquee-type wages for players. So, you know, that's been our thought all along. Now it's a reality of looking at the options. We've already been looking at and talking to some agents of that sort of that level of player over the last couple of months. And there's some really interesting names that I wish I could say, but I will keep under wraps. But definitely it is of that type of level. And, you know, you need to be careful because, you know, I personally don't think somebody like a Fernando Torres, even as great a player as he was, would actually deliver at this level at this point in his career. So, you know, you need to be careful that, you know, a name is a name, but at the same time, you know, you need to be able to deliver on the park. And, you know, obviously, you know, the A-League is not as technically as level as a standard as Europe is or some of those competitions, but it's still a pretty physical league, you know, so you've got to be able to handle that physicality and, you know, playing through summer and hard pitches and all. So you've got to take a lot of those things into consideration, which sometimes I think clubs don't do. So, you know, we're very mindful of understanding that we need a marquee player. I think the league needs marquee players. You see the excitement that somebody like Honda has brought into the competition. And obviously, Lou has been linked, you know, and obviously delivered those type of players in the past, season one, Dwight York, et cetera. So, you know, we are talking to a lot of people. We are convening tonight for a quick phone chat to talk about the latest potential opportunities. So, yeah, watch this space.
There we go. I like that. I'm going to put a line through Torres, but I'm going to remain excited about Zlatan. That's my take out of it anyway.
And as I said, Steve, Big Sam, big thumbs up.
Big Sam as well. I don't know about that, Steve, but I kind of like it, Joey. Anyway, we'll wrap up.
Actually, I thought Joey actually put his something about Sam Allardyce on social media.
Yeah, big now, Sam.
I've actually stayed away from social media for the last 24 hours because I'm absolutely inundated. But I managed to see that. And I'm thinking only if he brings that earpiece that he used to wear when he's in the stand along, would he be an option?
Just big Sam, big A-League, big football, big everything.
That's weird. We're gonna start the hashtag. Steve, we're going to let you go. Western sure. Melbourne Group. As we said, congratulations. Very exciting times for you and all the gang down there. And you're right, there's not a lot of time. So all the hard work begins now. So best of luck with it. No doubt we'll stay in touch with you.
No worries. Better get off the phone and get to it, mate.
You're listening to The Daily Football Show, the voice of Australian football.
Yes.
It is, yeah!
It's time for, let's be honest, the best segment of the week.
Yeah!
It's Croft's Quiz on a Friday afternoon, Season 2, Episode 13. Today we're talking defenders. We're talking the big belly centre-backs, the silky smooth sweepers, and the lefts and the right-backs who get the job done. Boys, you know the drill. Get your phones away. Put your laptops away. It's time to play the quiz. And as always...
I'm sick of winning.
Are you doing last week? Did you? No.
Shut up, Trump.
Of course I won.
Winning.
I can't remember. So you got to pick a name to play with. And seeing as you are the carrier of a champion, Adrian, what are you going to play as today?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting. I'm going to play as Virgil.
Virgil.
Yeah. Virgil. Stick that up your clacker.
Virgil, how appropriate.
Never a red card.
Should be in the tunnel.
Virgil. Fritchie, who are you playing as, mate?
Well, as a testament to our new home of A-League in Tarnete, there's obviously a lot of nothing out there at the moment except animals.
Yep.
So I'm going to be the name of my favourite animal cartoon character, Brian. Yep.
Brian. Brian the dog. Lovely.
What, Family Guy?
Yep.
Joey?
Love that.
Joey?
Since it's defenders, I'll pick an English defender. Ferdinand.
Ferdinand.
Great. Great defender. The
great.
Must admit, unbelievable.
The great Rio Ferdinand.
I thought you were going to pick the average one that played for QPR.
Yeah, Les.
You should have picked...
True question. It was Les. It was Les.
Nemanja Vidic, maybe?
He's not English.
All stats...
No, he's not.
All stats are provided...
What about John Stones?
...by transfermarket.com and the official league sites.
Should have gone with Maguire.
Alexander Arnold.
Question one.
Let's keep talking over the top of Rob.
I'm changing my buzzer to Maguire's gigantic head.
Let's keep talking over the top of Rob.
Question one.
Hey, Rob.
Which of these defenders played more, or the most, EPL games? Don't know why I wrote it like that.
Done good.
Which of these defenders played the most EPL game? Is it A?
Wait, so is this EPL or First Division and EPL?
English Premier League.
So
92 onwards.
So from 92 onwards.
Yes. None of these players played before 1992. Is it A, plastic, as you mentioned, Nemanja Vidic? Is it B, John Terry? C, Sol Campbell? D, Julian Lescott?
Brian. Ferdinand.
I think Brian was in first.
Only because his buzz is shorter.
Brian, John T. Incorrect.
Sol.
We've got to say your name first.
I said Ferdinand when I was buzzing in.
You're saying Sol Campbell? Well done, Sol Campbell.
I would have said Sol.
503 games for Sol, 492 for JT, 288 for Lescott.
Why didn't you put Jamie Carragher in there?
211 for Vidic, because I don't know, I just didn't.
Jamie Carragher played more than all of them.
Well, good on him. I just chose these four randomly. So
you didn't put the guy in that played the most?
I said of these defenders.
Terrible. Terrible.
Mike's off for the next question for Adrian. Question two. How many goals did the great Paolo Maldini score for the Italian national football team?
That is a great question. Closest to the pin?
Closest
Ferdinand.
To... Yes, Ferdinand.
26.
It's incorrect, but closest to...
Brian.
Yes, Brian.
12.
Incorrect, but as you know, closest to... Virgil?
Virgil.
Yes, Virgil.
I'm going to go with 19.
19, incorrect. Closest to the pin, it was Brian. He scored 7 goals in his time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Just 7. I mean, he was a defender after all. Question 4.
I thought it couldn't have been that many.
Question 3. Who captained Brazil at the 2002 World Cup?
2002.
Ferdinand.
Virgil.
Ferdinand was in first.
Was it Cafu?
Yeah, it was.
It was Cafu.
Ah, I'm just slow today.
I would have also accepted Marcos Evangelista de Moraes, which is his full name. So, but yes, Cafu is correct.
So he's wrong.
Question 4.
Cafu.
In his professional career, Carlos Puyol, the great man.
Carles,
how do you want to say it?
He banged the ball with his head.
I don't think he was as good as people made him out to be.
Carl Puyol.
Carles Puyol.
Only ever received one straight red in his professional career.
Wow. Who? He's awesome.
Who was it against? It was in 2010, so I'll give you that. Who was it against?
Wait, is this internationally or domestic?
2010.
It's both. He never had one for Spain. I made sure I
double. Oh, there we go. So it's domestic.
I double and triple checked it. Well, there you go. It's domestic. So there you go. There's
it's
an easy
so,
one.
So it's you can't. I just think it's too obvious to say who we all think.
All right, Ferdinand.
Yes, Ferdinand.
Was it against Atleti?
Not Atletico.
2010.
Oh, man. He's going 2010. It's a red card against anyone. It could be any Spanish team.
Yeah,
or it could be Champions in
the
Champions League.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking along the lines of Champions League. Who might have been? Because Inter won the Champions League that year.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Quick game's a good game.
I don't think he got sent off against this team, but they had some great battles. So I'm going to go for this team. Virgil, Chelsea.
It's not Chelsea, unfortunately, which means Brian.
All right.
Last go.
Brian.
You know what? I'm just going to go the really obvious one. Was it Real?
No.
Nope. It was Arsenal. So there you go.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Should have guessed.
I remember that.
I went and watched the replay. Very soft red.
Oh, God. I remember
very,
that.
Very,
very. I was at the Celtic Club for that game.
Very soft red.
With my Arsenal mates.
Question 5.
Why didn't you get it then?
Question 5.
I don't know. That's when they won 2-1, wasn't it? They got those 2 quick goals.
Yes. Question 5.
Oh, I was there.
Question 5. According to transfermarket.com, where I get my stats, the highest value defender in the world right now is who?
Highest value defender in the world.
Yeah, so they estimate they're worth the most.
Ferdinand.
Yes.
Is it Virgil?
No, it is not Virgil.
Brian.
Yes, Brian.
Rafael Varane.
That is correct.
Really?
Of course it is.
What?
Who
of
else
course
would it, be?
It is.
Who else would it be? Did you watch the World Cup?
What's his name? Centre back at oh my God, I'm
Ramos the dog.
No. Centre back at PSG.
Marquinhos.
No.
Silva. Yeah, he was up there, but
yeah.
he wasn't.
How he would have been way up there.
Yeah, but I think because Varane's got age on his side, that's why he's worth the most.
It should be Virgil.
Tell you what, bit stiff on Bart Shankville.
Yeah, a bit stiff.
Mate, Harrison Dalbridge, you serious?
The lethal weapon, Harrison
after
Dalbridge.
Score update.
He takes the best speckies in the whole
score
AFL.
Update. Brian's on 2. Ferdinand's also on 2. Virgil's on donuts right now. Question 6. Which of these players played the most games for the Socceroos? Is it A, Tony Vidmar, B, Lucas Neal, C, Alex Tobin, D, Luke Wilkshire?
Virgil.
Ferdinand.
Ooh.
Virgil was in first.
Alex Tobin.
Is incorrect.
Oh!
Ferdinand?
You were going to say Alex Tobin.
I was. Cheers. So run me through them again.
Vidmar, Neal, Wilkshire.
Neal.
That is correct.
Well done. That is correct.
Well,
cheers,
well,
Virgil.
Well done. Well,
off you go, son.
Well, diddly done.
Oh, Al, you sure it's not Alex Tobin?
I've double checked it.
He's got the medal, apparently not the caps.
Question 7.
I reckon that's wrong.
Please name. I checked transfer market. Okay. Question 7. Please name 3 clubs that Stephen Taylor has played for.
Brian. Wellington Phoenix, Newcastle United, and Peterborough.
Well done.
Who cares?
Who are his other ones?
I would have also accepted Wickham Wanderers.
Stamp collector.
Wickham Wanderers, Portland Timbers, and Ipswich Town. So
I forgot that he played for Portland
there
Timbers.
There you go. Now, this next one, if you don't get this one, 80, you may as well go home. Question 8.
I'm called Virgil.
Closest to the pin, Virgil.
This is the final segment. We're all going home.
How many games did Daniel Agger play for Liverpool? Closest to the pin.
Oh, he was injured all the time. That's such a hard question.
Yeah, in all comps. How many games did he play?
I'll go. Virgil.
Yep.
I can't see how he would have played over 200. I'm going to go like 186 or something like that.
That's incorrect, but he's closest to.
He was injured a lot.
All right, Brian.
Yes, Brian.
I was going to take a guess because I have no idea. 93.
No.
Incorrect.
Right, so what are the two guesses?
Nah,
186 and 93. How many games did Daniel... Put your phone away.
You might go in between.
Get the calculator out. So 186 minus... What was Joel's answer?
93.
Well, no, you can't do this.
I'll go
answer.
With... 125.
I reckon I've got it.
In all competitions, Daniel Agger played 232 games for Liverpool. Virgil, well done. You get a point. Question 9. Please name the two centre-backs who started for Italy in the 2006 World Cup final.
Virgil.
Yes, Virgil.
Cannavaro and some guy with a super Italian last name.
who are you going to go with?
Cannavaro and... I don't think he played at centre back, but I'll just go with it. Materazzi?
Yeah, he played at centre back.
Oh, am I right?
Well done.
Oh, I'm right.
That was legitimately my going to be like,
well,
damn it.
Well done.
I did it.
Question 10. The
Materazzi.
Question 10. The who are ya?
Wait, so what's the score?
Brian, as Virgil's on 2, Brian and Ferdinand are on 3 each.
Oh.
Anybody's game. Win.
Anybody's game.
As is always the case on the final question.
Yes.
Oh, but am I a chance still?
Yeah, you're right on this. For 5 points.
Oh, my God, I could win. I'm not even trying.
For 5 points. Raised in Germany, I began my senior career with Chelsea, where I managed 42 games over 4 seasons.
What?
Confusing, isn't it?
What?
For 4 points. In 2004, I debuted for the German national team, but struggled to hold down a senior position. In that period, I also changed clubs to Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough, Germans.
In 2009, I moved to Stoke.
Virgil!
Yes, Virgil.
I don't even know why I showed so much urgency. I don't think I've got it at all.
Who are you going to go with that?
Oh.
I think I'm completely wrong here. Robert Huth?
Yeah, that's... Yep.
Oh, my God! I got it!
Wait, isn't Huth...
Robert Huth.
Is Huth a centre-back?
Yeah, he's a centre-back.
Oh, yeah.
I won again! Give me another monster kill. Give it to me. And another one. Go one more. Oh, give me one more monster kill. One more.
Fine. No, you can have a...
Unstoppable. I get what I want. One more monster kill. One more.
There you go.
Monster kill. That win, I'm going to dedicate that to Virgil van Dijk. Never a red card. Keep doing you, bro. Keep doing you.
Just for those playing
at
home.
You are class and you are going to win us a title.
Just for those playing at home, the remaining questions were Stoke City, where I played for six years, became enforcer at the Britannia for 2 points. In 2016, I famously tweeted, yes, Champions League guaranteed. Better start practicing my Rabonas. And the 1 point was I scored a brace against Manchester City on the 6th of February 2016, helping Leicester City go on to win the title. I am Robert Who. Robert Huth.
I am Robert Who.
Robert Huth. What an absolute character of English football, despite the fact that he was born in Germany, which I didn't even realise. I thought he was English, and I'd like to look it up. So there you go.
Are you joking?
No, I wasn't joking. I thought he was English. There you go.
No way. I had very little time for Robert Huth when he was at Stoke because he just used to chop the hell out of our players. I don't know why. You wouldn't have liked him. Remember those days where
I had Stoke.
Arsenal lost at the Britannia nearly every single season when Huth was there.
I think Robert Huth, like, I know he's German, but for some reason I think he should be Icelandic, and I don't know why.
No, he's not called Huthson.
I know, but he just, like, looks like an Icelander.
Robert Huth is a German professional footballer who recently played as centre back for Leicester City. He currently plays for nobody.
Frush.
Oh. He plays for no one.
Western Melbourne. Just get the phone out. Steve.
Hold on. Prize music off.
What are you doing?
It's now. It's not the conspiracy music, but I'm going to put this on anyway. Robert Huth coming to Australia.
Frush,
you heard it here first, people.
I don't get it.
Like, are we accusing him of a crime or?
No, I don't know.
What is this?
Really Robert Huth and his lesser accomplishes.
Well, I need to go.
Stole the premiership.
I don't know what's happening.
Why can't I speak to that?
I'm lost.
Prize music back on.
I don't. What world is this, Frush? I keep winning the quiz.
Adrian, what is this sorcery?
How many have I won of season two? You've got to do a tally next week, please.
I have to go back through and listen to them all.
Yeah.
Or just the ending of them.
Oh, gee, hard job.
Man, I got a lot to prepare next week for this show.
Go back through and figure out the tally for season two. Because I reckon I'm up. I reckon I'm up.
You're only halfway through the season, though.
I know that.
Yeah.
But it'd be great for the listeners to know wherever I'm at as well, wouldn't it?
So, listeners, next week we'll be doing the big fat cross quiz of the year, where I'll be quizzing these gentlemen on everything that's happened this year in the world of football, right from January all the way through. I think Tony's going to come in, so I'm going to have to figure out how we get a fifth mic running on this mixer.
I don't know what we're going to do.
I'll figure something out. But yeah, if you've got a good question for Croft's quiz, just message the page maybe. I'll reply, and then you can just PM me your question.
Okay. Let's go. Don't forget, Daily Football Show, 4 p.m. Eastern, Monday to Friday, iTunes, Spotify, the Google Podcasting app. If I'm dusty on Monday, I'm sorry. I might be.
This has been a Podular Media production.